Reading tonight is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those of you who come to this church often will know that I'm a padre in the Territorial Army, and that I serve a field hospital here in Cardiff as their chaplain. And back in the summer, back in June, we went away for our two-week annual camp, our training period, and went down to West Wales, where we did an exercise for a few days. And as part of that exercise, we ended up sleeping out in a field for a few days. And normally what we do when we're sleeping out in the field is we take our poncho or our ground sheet, find a couple of convenient trees or maybe a fence post or the bumper of a Land Rover, something like that. And we stretch the tarpaulin out to make a very crude shelter. We call it it's called a basher. And that's just somewhere to get out of the weather in our sleeping bags to get some sleep. Well, we were down in West Wales, as I said, and I crawled into my basher and gone to sleep. It was lovely and toasty, and was woken in the middle of the night by a noise. And I woke up suddenly to find a sheep had come and stuck its head into my basher and was dribbling in my face. Now, I'm used to waking up next to Claire, which is much more pleasant than having a sheep dribble in my face. But at that moment, I understood something about shepherding and sheep. Sheep are smelly, dirty, quite unpleasant animals when you get up that close to them. Their wool, if you touch it, is greasy. It has lanolin on it to make it waterproof. And they smell awful, particularly when they're dribbling in your face. So it was no surprise to me to discover that shepherds in the first century were not very highly regarded. It was not a great job. It was not the job of choice for your children. Shepherding was done by the least and the last and the lowliest in society. Either a family might send out their youngest son, the one that was useless and no good to anything else, to go and look after the sheep, or else they would hire in hired hands. And over time, in first century Palestine, Shepherds got a really bad reputation. In fact, across the whole of the ancient world, if you read some of the contemporary writers, the shepherds had a terrible reputation. Because they would move from place to place, nomadic, as the sheep went looking for more pasture, they were often considered the same way that in our culture, gypsies get considered. Unreliable, never around for anything for very long. If something goes missing, it was probably those shepherds. In Roman society, over time, their reputation became so low that their word wasn't trusted. And shepherds weren't allowed to testify in court. They were thought to always lie, to always be thieves, to always be unreliable, to be always moving on. When you remember that the Gospel of Luke was written for a Greek-Roman audience, that makes this story of the good news coming to the shepherds even more shocking. That the angels came to the lowliest, the least, and the last to tell them the good news. It didn't go to the religious people in the temples and in the synagogues. It didn't go to the learned people in the universities and the centers of learning. It didn't go to the wealthy people in their palaces. But the angels went to a bunch of no good, untrustworthy, smelly old shepherds living out in a field. And they brought these words, "We bring you good news of great joy that is for you and for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born." There were shepherds, and that's who the good news came to. But when you look through the Christmas story and through the Nativity story, you find that there's all sorts of scandalous and shocking people that the good news came to. We read about Mary. It says back in chapter 1 that there was Mary, and she was pledged to be married to him, to Joseph. Let's have the next slide, Gemma. She was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child. In our culture today, some of the shock of that has been lost. But just look at the words there on the screen. She was pledged to be married, she wasn't yet married, and yet she was expecting a child. Not only did this message come to untrustworthy, smelly old shepherds, it came to this unmarried mum-to-be. I don't know if you've been watching, as I have over the last week, the Nativity on the BBC. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I thought it was a wonderful program. But in those middle sections where Mary is pregnant and she comes back home and the villagers want to stone her and kick her out and vilify her and spit at her. Here's this young girl, pregnant, but with no husband. And the angel comes and says, "Don't be afraid. Something incredible is about to happen." If we went over into Matthew's version of the story, we read the angel that comes to Elizabeth and says, "You've got a part to play in God's story." And what we sometimes miss when we read about Elizabeth was that she was a woman in her culture in disgrace. When she responds to the message of the angel, she says, "The Lord has shown me his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people." Elizabeth was barren and was now getting on in life, beyond maybe what might be expected, the childbearing age. And in that culture, in that day, people who were barren and people who were sick and people who had certain kinds of illnesses were seen as cursed by God. They must have done something wrong to offend God. There must be some scandal, some disgrace in their life. And Elizabeth says, "You know what? That's me. I'm in disgrace. But the Lord has shown me his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people." Outcast shepherds, unmarried mothers, disgraced older women, and so many others in the story. Foreigners from the East, immigrants into Israel, into Judea, coming from afar with their funny accents and their funny skin, coming to worship the Christ child. When you read the Christmas story, the thing that stands out and strikes you is that there isn't any religious people in the story, really. There's Zechariah, yes. But the bulk of the story is about folk who are not religious folk, who are not wealthy folk, who are not learned folk, who are not the nice people in society, but those at the very margins. And the angels come and they say, I bring you good news of great joy that is for you and for all the people. I want to underline the word all. The good news of Jesus is for all the people. So often as Christians we want to hoard up the good news. We want to say we're the ones who are blessed. We're the ones who've got God's favour. We're the ones who are nice. But the angel came to those at the margins and said, today to you is born a saviour in David's town. This message is good news for all people, for the least, for the last, for the lost, for those that no one else wants to consider. For too long, the church has made the good news for nice people who go to church, who wear the right clothes and who speak properly. And it's a shame and a scandal that we have excluded folk from the good news and said, you're not welcome here because of your habits, because of your lifestyle, because of your sexuality, because of your social standing, because of your income. We're not going to make you feel as if you're part of this. And yet the very Christmas message is, I bring you good news of great joy. That is for all the people. For those at the edges, as well as those at the centre. In fact, especially for those at the edges. If Jesus came again tonight, and so often preachers say this, but I think it's so true. If Jesus came again tonight, I don't know we'd find him in church. We might find him in the pub. We might find him in a coffee bar. We might find him on the street. Why can I say that? Well, because that's where we find the messengers of God the first time around. I thank God I belong to a church that takes seriously our calling to bring good news to all people. That home access works amongst those in difficulty with housing. That we have a food bank, and we operate a food bank for those who just turn up and say, I'm hungry. That we have the 434 fund, where people, when they have a surplus, put money in so that when we have need, we can take out. It comes from Acts 434, the name of the fund. There was none amongst them who had any need. And I delight to be a pastor who this year has been able to write nearly £4,000 in cheques and just say, go pay your electricity bill. Go clear your debt. Go sort your mortgage out in this time of difficulty. I delight to be in a church that has prison fellowship going into our jails, that has folk who work on the street week by week feeding the homeless. But we've got so much more to do. The angels, when they came and said, I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people, whatever their colour, whatever their creed, whatever their background, whatever their experience, whatever in life. You might feel tonight, you know what, I'm really at the edges of God's favour, or maybe even I've done something that puts me outside it. The Christmas message is no. The good news of the gospel is for all people. There's nothing that any of us has done that puts us beyond God's grace and favour. If you feel at the edge tonight, I want you to know how welcome you are in this church, and I believe in the kingdom of God. Good news for all people. But then, very quickly to finish, a verse again that we pass over quickly often, verse 20, it says this, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising for God for all the things they had heard and seen. They returned. The shepherds returned. These folk at the edge of society had encountered an angel and had come and met God incarnate on earth. They'd seen God in flesh. And what happens? They return. They go back to the fields. They go back to where they'd come from. Yes, they go back changed. Yes, they go back having encountered God, but they returned. We've had the last few months in our house the God Channel. We've changed our television provider and we've had the God Channel. And I have to tell you, there is some abominations there of people saying, come to God, become a Christian, and everything will be changed. You'll become wealthy and rich and God will take care of your needs and send us some money for helping out and showing you the way. But God's going to take care of all your needs. And it's not what the Bible promises. The shepherds returned to where they were. Mary's reputation probably never recovered. The foreigners were still foreigners, but the difference was they'd met God and God was with them in their situation. Wherever you are returning to tonight, I can't promise you wealth and health and prosperity. I don't find it in this book. I'm sorry. I don't see it there. But I can promise you this. You can go back praising God and glorifying God for the things that you've heard, because the good news of the Christmas message is that wherever we are, God will meet with us and call us. And God is then with us. He goes with us when we return. He goes with us in the difficult situations. The shepherds' response as they went back to their jobs that no one else had wanted, where they were still looked down on, was they went rejoicing. There is no one here tonight who is outside of God's favour. And there is no one here tonight who, when they return home, can't go with God with them. Emmanuel. The Christmas message is good news for all the people, whoever you are this night and wherever you've come from. Amen.
May now the joy of the shepherds, the wonder of the wise men, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this night. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this night, this Christmas time, and forever. Amen. Let's close with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.